I have a few. I have people potentially coming here at 6:30. So if I drop off, that will be why.
We'll wrap
Don't
up,
worry. Don't worry about my flat. I've never had anyone potentially coming in here.
yeah. There's been no coming whatsoever.
There has, but it's just been me.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Very good. Hopefully it's recorded. So wait, I'm looking at the Stripe office here. Yeah, it does seem to be like in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It is decidedly, as in decision was made decidedly, outside of the city limits of San Francisco, because San Francisco, what with all the SaaS and enterprise business, software businesses, decided that they were going to change how they tax things. So
Ah.
if you're a low margin, high volume business, you get fucked. So a bunch of people, Stripe included, moved out to a place called Oyster Point, which is a fucking palatial office, but very much like in an industry, in a like a new industrial area. So it's just like a bunch of people getting Ubers to offices and then going and then leaving the area. You know, there's like no
Yeah.
walking around.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Nice view of the bay and shit, like, but it's very much like you're in your little village, your little indoor
You're
village.
in the city west of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Higher taxes. Welcome to Kamala Harris's America, people. She's both a globalist and for some reason a communist too. I've been paying attention to my videos.
Yes, these things can coexist.
Just sitting there going, I fucking wish she was a communist. That'd be so much more fucking interesting.
That would be cool. Yeah. Well, fucking radical.
Yeah. She's left. She's far left. These far left MAGA Republicans. I've forgotten. I've gone off script. I've forgotten what I'm supposed to be saying. It is as good a time as any to welcome you back to the final countdown.
That's damn right it is.
You're
Ho-ho!
god damn right it is, and we've got much to discuss.
Absolutely.
Much to discuss. We already got to B-days and holiday arse.
We did.
I,
Thankfully. Couldn't
surprise,
go without
surprising to
discussing that.
very unusual to get three episodes out of one subject, but we sure did. And there's more stuff. I listed it before. I don't remember.
You had something about Diddy.
Oh, I certainly I did I or did he?
Diddy.
No, I certainly did. I do have something. It's a more lighthearted take on the whole Diddy situation, you know.
It's just what the
Okay,
world
I'm
needs.
ready for it.
Yeah.
Because there's
Well,
been
you're gonna
a
lot of heavy heart involved in it, isn't there?
lot of heavy
It's been
heart.
heavy on the heart front for sure. Wait, Kevin Hart's involved?
Unfortunately,
I mean,
yes.
unfortunately, he would seem to be. Yeah.
He does look like a kid, so I could see how he would become a target.
You ever notice how when it's rappers and not financiers and politicians that the names come out like straight away? It's like, we're still waiting on most of the Epstein people, but with Diddy, it was like, yeah, and here they
And here they
are.
are. Yeah, it's all. It's like, does Diddy
Oh.
need better lawyers, or just like, if you were to do the financiers and politicians, the whole house of cards would come crashing down.
Yeah, I suspect it was that. I mean, like, feel like there's talk about like that they're gonna kill Diddy. You know, it's like, what the fuck did like was Diddy not always in danger of someone killing him? I mean, they literally killed Biggie, right? I don't know. I don't. It's a very exciting pop culture moment in one sense, but it's very kind of depressing because it's not like people were unaware that the music industry was disgusting. But much like with Hollywood, it's kind of stark to see it revealed in front of you. There's like, oh, there's something almost, it's in the organized element of it. It's like, oh man, I knew they were all fucking weirdos, but I kind of figured they were all in each off as an individual weirdo silo, you know?
Exactly. It was something about the fame and the power that just like sent them all a thing rather than like, oh no, you get into a fucking cabal.
Yeah, you could convince yourself, and I certainly had, that it was like an emergent property of like having lots of young people, lots of money, and lots of drugs, and all that, and all those things that kind of come about. And it's yeah, well, yeah, what are you gonna do? We don't really know what's going on. It's probably fine.
It's probably fine.
Probably an innocent
What?
explanation for everything.
I'm sure there's a very simple, innocent explanation for all of this.
Yeah.
Well, what's your hot take, Mathis, or is that it?
No, I'll tell you my fucking hot take, man. Big big week in the win column for Shane Lynch.
Go on. Yeah, it fucking
sorry,
is.
Sorry, what? Oh, fucking,
because they have beef.
They have beef. The only one with the balls slash lack of intelligence to think it was a good idea.
To him.
To stand up to Diddy. To challenge Diddy to a straightener in Lily's. And I mean, what are the odds? He was like, let's fucking get Diddy out of his comfort zone. You couldn't bring guns in. Yeah. So it's like, you can only bring guns in. And I know who's winning that fucking battle. And it ain't 5'6" Sean Combs, let me tell you. Take one look at what Shane Lynch did in Boyzone, and yet he got paid the same as the rest of them, and realized he was paying his way somehow. It was presumably as the enforcer, I guess.
It sure wasn't
the singer. Yeah, it's just he's finally been redeemed in all of our eyes, I think. It's like all these tough guys, all these fucking hardcore gangster rappers who just fucking let him at it. You reckon Biggie was in on it, or you reckon?
Unclear. I'll be real with both of you. Yeah. When a big celebrity is like outed as a molester and sexual predator, that's when I just go, okay, cool. That person's a big no for me, and I don't want to hear any more of the fucking details.
Oh. Understandable, but boring. I don't want to hear the individual details of what was done to individual people, but I would like the no-no list to be expanded as far as it needs to be expanded.
Mm.
You know?
Mm. Like, how far has this no-no list expanded, Manto? I haven't been keeping on top of my diddler news.
I gotta tell you, I'm actually the worst person to ask about this because I don't know who any of these fucking people are. It's like, I believe during the raid they found like 1,000 bottles of lube.
What the fuck?
At a certain point, you have that much lube, I don't even think it's sexual. I think you're making a slip and slide.
Yeah.
You see 1,000 bottles of lube, you're actually like, oh good, he's not gonna bump me.
Something else.
These are for some other thing, yeah. So I don't know. My only point of bringing it up was to finally give Shane Lynch his flowers.
Yeah.
He
deserves them
for standing up to Diddy. That's probably why his career kind of petered out.
Probably,
Diddy,
yeah.
Diddy probably put the squeeze on him at the top, you know? I'd say that's what it was.
And Boys Life are coming back, so.
Boys Life are coming back in a big way. Shane's not involved in Boys Life.
Oh, Boys Life is
Keith Duffy and Brian McFadden.
So are we going to the Boys Life show?
I fucking love Keith Duffy almost as much as I fucking hate Brian McFadden.
Yeah.
Is the problem.
Unstoppable force and immovable object, man. It's right. That hasn't answered my question.
Yeah, I mean, we're going, yeah.
We're going.
We're not going to fucking announce my fans here like Marion Finucane and get the house robbed because they know we're going to all the nights of the tour.
all the nights, yes. We're going to all night of the tour in Dublin.
The world tour, the world Boys Life world tour in Dublin, yeah.
World tour of Dublin.
I will say this. Shane Lynch only, who is my favourite of all of these people, he only challenged Puff Daddy to a straightener. Brian McFadden did threaten to take on all of ISIS. if you remember correctly.
No, I don't. Please remind me.
I'll have to find it here because it was...
It is absolutely spectacular.
Brian McFadden. I don't know why I haven't hotlinked this because for the amount of times I bring it up. It's been removed by Google. Wouldn't it be great if ISIS had the balls to stand face to face with us and fight? No weapons, no bombs, no dead children, man to man.
So fucking good.
And I think they disbanded after that, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They were like, you know what? He's right. He's absolutely right.
This cowardice isn't the way to go, fellas.
Yeah.
I certainly remember thinking about disbanding when Shane Filan sent us that cease and desist, But this has got to be the last straw.
Because
he doesn't even. Because the thing about Brian McFadden is he might actually go over there and fight them. He ain't got shit to do.
Yeah.
He's got all the time and just enough money.
Yeah. You have to respect in one level that he thought he was talented enough that leaving Westlife at that time was a good idea.
Oh. Yeah, just so much confidence.
People tell you to bet on yourself, but I don't think they ever think about Brian McFadden when they say that.
So you know what I think we should do? I think we should give him an additional 40 quid each and get tickets to his concert in the
Olympics. Oh, I'm going. If you want to go, I'm going.
Okay, I'll absolutely go to that. Gav, are you in?
I'm in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, when is it?
It's Sunday, the 19th of January, you prick.
Even if you didn't intend on going, it's worth spending the 40 euro to have that plan for the next 6 months.
I am in. I am in.
Yeah, we're fucking going. 19th of January. You'd be crying. It was crying out for something to do 19th of January.
And really hard to tell what the demo of this is going to be.
Bunch of hen parties.
Yeah.
We're going to be on team. Great. Oh man, I'm telling you, this is going to be. You know who's going to be at this? You remember the type of people who would go to our show because they thought we were going to get into the nip at the end?
Yeah.
They're going to be. And then they'd come up to us afterwards and go, what?
Yeah.
We'd like to see some eggs, please.
We'd like to see some hog, please.
Okay. In Belfast, they have limited availability. The Olympia. Sorry. The Olympia. Chapel Rowan played the fucking Olympia. Like.
Fucking listen, that's just that boy's life, man. It's just
I don't know where I was expecting them to play.
It was either gonna be like it would have to be the Olympia, or it was gonna be like in Crystal Nightclub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some non venue.
I've got the tickets now lined up for the Olympia.
Is there a VIP experience?
I actually think that we'd embarrass ourselves at the VIP experience.
Oh no, you know we don't want that. They don't want to speak to us either. Well, the Keith's
not after last time.
No, because I mean, if Brian McFadden will fight an entire terror cell, I don't know that he'll be at all put off. But giving us the bunches of fives,
I don't want to be in within like right hook range. You know. No.
Yeah.
Every time there's a lucrative Westlife reunion, some tabloid will interview Brian McFadden and he'll comment that the time just wasn't right for him to rejoin the lads. That they mutually decided against him joining them for this one.
Oh, God. Imagine fumbling the bag that fucking hard.
Oh, man. I've fucking haven't fumbled the bag that bad since Reynards. I am always fully present for that article that comes out. And these days it's not even an article, like, because it's like the Mirror interviewing what they're supposed to, but it's just some online thing that's like five lines, you know. McFadden, not sure about this one, perhaps sitting it out, you know. Not really in it for the commercial success, is McFadden?
No, he's in it for the love of the game.
Because every couple of years they get to do a big tour of stadiums when one of them goes broke on property.
Yeah,
that's the deal
they have made with the devil. Sorry, Louis Walsh, should call him by his real name.
That would have been a rough one if there had been, like, instead of Diddy, if it was Louis Walsh. That would have been rough.
I mean, like, time has not yet come for Louis Walsh, but I'm really not fucking surprised.
I think he just...
And you can bleep his name all you want. Like, that's... You listen. No, I don't know, but no. I wouldn't be surprised.
You're not saying. You're saying based on your gut ickiness. You wouldn't be surprised if it happened. You're not saying it did. You certainly have no proof to the effect. Who in entertainment really would you be like, oh, there's no way. Like, if you heard it, you'd be like, no, not a chance. I mean,
Keanu Reeves.
Who did you say, Jack?
Keanu Reeves.
Probably too dumb to orchestrate such a ring of deception. You know what I mean?
Like Nicole Kidman. Like, if that happened, I'd be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
Or most women. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's probably not going to be. I mean, Ghislaine Maxwell would never do it. That's for sure.
Financier? Ghislaine Maxwell, the financier? No, never.
Oh, we're in, lads.
We're in. Yeah, I actually I just sent the screenshot of the tickets to go to Boys Life. I accidentally put it into the group, into the Messenger. There's not a lot of people I talk to on Messenger. The only other people are wrestlers, so I put it into the group of about 15 people who are going to WrestleMania. It was there for about 10 seconds before I noticed and deleted the messages, and they're like, "Guys, I mean, we could go to Boys Life as well.
That's pretty fucking good." Well, if is James still in the final group? Will he be like annoyed that we didn't invite him to Boys Life?
I think Ben will see it and might chime in.
Yeah. James is still in the group, but I assume has muted it and burned the phone on which Facebook Messenger was on. Like he has not responded or seen in quite some time.
It's been a hot minute. Yeah, that's. But the no, let's go in order because I put these in order of importance.
Yeah,
and I'll never not be annoyed about minimum unit pricing. So that's the one thing you can be sure that will come back up. So actually, the rest of it. Last week or 2 weeks ago, you'll recall we had revealed to us a very interesting piece of information by one Cisco S. Cisco Esquire, the author and singer of The Thong Song, and how he didn't make any money off it. In fact, he had to repay money that he already spent on cocaine because he didn't clear a sample. Really innocuous little sample too. Like he just at one point like says "Living la vida loca," sort of like it is in the song, and that was enough for him to. And we've done a deep dive on this. No, we haven't looked into it at all. It could still be bullshit, but it probably wasn't. It's the kind of thing that would be true. Another famous artiste who in fact made negative money out of their big hit. DJ Mark McCabe.
What? Negative money.
Tragic.
Yeah, Maniac 2000. He completely fucked the dog on the rights for the original Maniac. And yeah, he can't just got the bum suit off him, I think. To the point that you can't find it on, it's not Spotify. On Spotify.
Yeah, because we messaged him. Let me find the message. We reached out to DJ Mark McCabe on Instagram many years ago to ask him when such track was going to be on Spotify, and he wrote back to us.
Because he has like a Brian McFadden-esque answer to the question where it's like, it's just the time wasn't right, you know?
Time wasn't right, yeah. I'm not right. I haven't built up enough cash reserves to get the arse sued off me quite yet.
Yeah, his response is like, well, you know, I really just didn't want to be known as the, it's just a period of my life, you know, I didn't really want to be known as the Maniac 2000 guy. And like, that stands up to no scrutiny, but, you know, go for it, Mark.
Yeah.
And yeah, like 5 seconds of investigating, he just straight up didn't clear the rights. Well, because presumably it was just something he fucking did in a nightclub, like at one point.
In Clontarf Cricket Club. That's where the single was recorded.
Oh man, if I was to expunge, so that's funny. That's the most cool thing ever to happen to DJ Mark McCabe. going to Clontarf Cricket Club. Is that really?
Yeah. It was recorded at Clontarf Cricket Club in front of a live audience.
And was he like, this is gonna be a hit? I'm going to put this out.
No idea. I assume he had put it together before, but then he decided to record it at Dunthorpe Cricket Club when he was like, I need the fucking raucous atmosphere of a cricket club.
Of the CCC. So not a penny for DJ Mark McCabe. Because much like... It also reminded me of Cisco in one sense, not just because of the royalties thing, but I remember Cisco being interviewed on MTV once, and he's going, and I have brought this up before, but I'll never stop. And he's like, you know, do I mind? But you know, when people start asking you, you start interviewing themselves during an interview, it's like, do I mind that I'm just going to be known for the song? No. Sometimes I think about that, but sometimes I remember that Michael Jackson's always going to be the Thriller guy. So why is there ever a problem that Cisco's the Thong Song guy? Whatever you need to tell yourself,
buddy. Whatever the fuck you need to tell yourself, Cisco.
Yeah, dunks similar to a truck, but they weren't actually a truck, which was what was good about that. And again, he did have a second hit.
Yeah, well, Enter the Dragon or something.
Enter the Dragon. That point was made to me once about Shaggy, because I think someone described him as a one-hit wonder. And I said, oh no, Shaggy had two hits. And they said, no, Shaggy had 2 1 hits.
Yeah, Mr. Bombastic.
Was me. Shaggy was a one-hit wonder twice. He didn't have two hits. It's exactly true. I couldn't tell you what the fucking criteria are, but it's completely true.
Because he did have a version of Angel in the morning, which he just called Angel, which was not a hit.
No, that was the ultimate, like, oh, fuck, we've got to put out another one. That one was big. We got to put one. I don't know, man. What did you put to? I didn't think this was going to work. I mean, because if you listen to it, it wasn't me. It stinks.
Yeah. Awful.
Shaggy's part is the worst part. All right, buddy. Mr. Bombastic, not great either, but, like, I could imagine.
Oh, Mr. Bombastic, boss. Come
I can imagine. I can imagine that being on, and you just done like bam, bam, ticka, 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 bam, bam. Yeah, and Shaggy's not bad on it. He's the main thing. Whereas, who's the guy on Wasn't Me? Is it Rayvon or
Rayvon? Is it, yeah, is it? Yeah. No, wait. Or was he one? Yeah,
he or is the. Yeah, so Shaggy was done, and then it was like, I don't know, who do we give this one to?
It was Rick Rock.
Oh, Rick Rock. Sorry, I forgot. How did I forget? Oh, he showed up on the P Diddy list, actually.
it was the first single off Shaggy's fifth album.
Holy McGoobins.
Fucking hell, Shaggy.
So it turns out actually Twitter, I messaged Mark McCabe on, and now that Twitter has changed and he's a verified user and I'm not, it won't let me read the messages. But in searching through the ones on Instagram, I did find the unhinged message in 2016 and I sent it to the happy pair.
What does it say?
I was...
Send me details for your OnlyFans, lads.
quick question about veganism. Back to have my first and wondering if you can maintain a vegan lifestyle and breastfeed your child. Really appreciate your time. And then they got back with a like, have a good diet. And I was like, no. I want to be very clear. I want to still call my child a vegan while breastfeeding them. I don't know if that's allowed.
That took me, because do you know what? That they didn't grasp what you were asking them there.
Of course not. I made it intentionally unclear.
That was, but I mean, and they're a happy pair, not a smart pair.
Yeah.
I'm now realizing that there's some key details I have included in the message I went back that I'm going to call the child Gwyneth, of course.
Of course, Gwyneth. That's your problem. As you call
and
it.
That me and my partner Ashley, he got me into being a vegan. So now we're basically talking about if two male parents of a child can breastfeed their child and still call it vegan. Funny enough, they did leave me on scene.
Weird. Well, no, they're just thinking about it, Jack.
They'll get back to you.
Right, I get back to them now and be like, wonder if even update on this 8 years later.
Well, they're busy. They're very busy because not only are they operating their health food shop and OnlyFans page, they're also spending half of their life as the Carney brothers. Dave and Rob.
Such a good point.
I like Rob Carney for what he did in his rugby career, but if he wasn't on television, I'd be fine with it.
I'd be more than fine with it. Because someone better will be there.
And by the way, an empty chair would be sufficiently superior and presumably cheaper than Rob Curry. God bless him. He might get good.
He might. Yeah.
Very talented at sport and very good looking. What were the odds he was going to be good at broadcasting too? It was zero.
Yeah. Zero. Absolutely zero. Yeah.
And with less Rob Curry, there'd be more room for Matty Williams and Joe Malloy banter.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know what they'd really want. I know what they'd really do with the extra time. They'd give it to Jamie Heaslip.
Yeah.
As well they should.
Or Stephen Ferris or some fucking.
Oh, they love giving it to the Ferris wheel. They fucking love a bit of that. Whereas, like, It's like, I think that the affable face of Irish television that is Tommy Bowe should be given
10 children.
Tommy Bowe, really? Who has 10 children?
No, it's from the meme.
Oh, sorry. Now I understand. Yeah, because I know the one you're talking about now. Yeah. He's perfect for that. He's actually much better at that than he is at rugby coverage.
Yeah.
He's much better, like, just being affable and funny and to like morning guests. Because God bless anyone with the temperament for that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a thankless job. They get thanked loads.
They get thanked. Yeah, too much, man. You know, I mean, it's one of those. I don't know. They never look. The guy from Tipping Point does it. He does one of the morning programs, and I've seen. And like, and you think Tipping Point's boring, but I'm just looking at him and going, he's just imagining he's on the pushy coiny machine, you know, at the moment, rather than this thing that he's the fucking most annoying thing about Tipping Point. Possibly the funniest thing about it as well is that it, like, by far the biggest expense that comes with, because the most they could ever have to give away is 10 grand. And apart from that, and the Ben Shepherd, I presume, is a pretty big expense as well. And other than that, it's just your fucking studio and the people are coming on for fucking nothing. So the biggest, like, outlay is the machine. And it's not even fucking a good version of the machine. If you watch, you won't have to even watch two full episodes of Tipping Point and something will go wrong with it. Like, they're just, oh yeah, two coins have just fallen there for no reason. Okay, Ben then has to go into his earpiece and be like, they're telling me that's an ambient drop and that cannot be attributed to anyone. Or it'll just launch a couple of them out of the machine altogether in a way that it's not supposed to. It just malfunctions. It's just like, yeah, that's good enough. Like, if you were putting on a show in Players, you'd be like, oh, the fucking machine doesn't work. But Tipping Point,
I absolutely love, I would say, minimum 10% of our episodes talk about Tipping Point.
It's the fucking stupidest program on television. But you would think that if you're going to entirely base your program around one of those coin shelf machines, that you might get one that didn't break every time you used it.
If you've got a bad, like, plan, but you execute flawlessly, you can kind of get away with it. Yeah. But, like, they're doing neither.
Yeah. And God bless Ben Shepherd, but he's no Bradley Walsh.
He's no Brad. Ah, no, he's not. No. But, like, early in his career, he probably thought, like, he was the bee's knees. Because, like, he's better looking than Bradley Walsh. He's kind of a more professional, put-together thing than Bradley Walsh. But then Bradley Walsh just comes on and just fucking does his thing.
He just has, like, that fucking... I was going to say he has the X factor, but they've not let him present that yet. But he has the it factor. He has something.
He has something.
That would break my heart if the Bradley Walsh files came out.
Oh, fucking hell.
Like, I don't want to say I'd rather not
and
know.
And the Chase Holmes would be bad.
Oh, God, that'd be the fucking end of it, you know? Way more likely one of those fucking weird quiz people that they employ on The Chase is going to turn out that they've done something.
Oh, 100%.
Be weirder if they didn't.
Be weirder if they did. More likely than Louis Walsh. One of them married their cousin, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, the Beast married his cousin, yeah.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't hold that against her. He's a very handsome man.
He is. And charismatic, too. Yeah. Is the Beast on the Zembe, do we think?
Oh, has he lost a bunch of weight?
No, I just assume that, like, he's famous and fat, so it's going that way.
He seems like the kind of guy who would determinedly eat his way through it.
Yeah.
Because it's like the gastric sleeve thing. It's like, yeah, it works, but you can force yourself to stay fat on it if you want. Like, you know. God bless it. And they're not nice to him about his weight either. Bradley teases him about his size every time he comes on. Oh, well. But Bradley probably knows that he ain't going to say shit because he's got some fucking skeletons in the closet, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How long have we gone? Yeah, we're not going to get to minimum unit price and nonsense.
There'll be plenty of time for that.
Yeah. Someone did get in trouble on the internet for saying Churchill was a dick. caused a bit of a stir.
Why? Because, like, why did they say that? Because he was obviously a fucking dick, but why was that a bad move?
A man called Daryl Cooper went on the Tucker Carlson show, and the problem is that the phrase he used was Churchill was the chief villain of the Second World War.
Yeah, that poor phrasing.
It's probably the wrong way to do it, because although it
most certainly wasn't.
No, most certainly not. It's like Churchill's one of those guys who is, it's just, he's so fortunate for his image that he came up against Hitler.
Yeah. Against anyone else, he would have been the bad guy.
Churchill proves the adage that's true in wrestling and in war, that if you are up against a sufficiently over heel, anyone can be a baby face. But I would suggest that much of the, and he said it on Tucker Carlson, which already it's like, you know, obviously Tucker's perfect and everything he does is perfect, which absolutely, is the official opinion of the program. But I do think a lot of the pushback was using that sort of, I think it was probably a slip of phrase, either a slip or I think he was being hyperbolic. Maybe not. Maybe he just thinks Hitler's class. I don't know. But I think a lot of the pushback wasn't from people like us. I think a lot of it was from people go, "What do you put Churchill's the hero with the cigar? What are you talking about?" Whereas I think to an Irish audience or even many people in the UK, they'd be like, "Yeah, Churchill was a fucking dick."
Yeah.
I mean, he was. We probably needed him
we got rid of him as soon as the war was over. Like, he was very much a necessary evil.
In any case, it doesn't take away from the fact that he's a bit of a dick.
So, exactly.
Although I don't want this, I don't know enough about this Daryl Cooper affair. He may be a full-on Nazi. I don't know.
You never know these days.
You never know.
But a couple of years ago, you could have ruled out like them having a proper Nazi on the program to say that Hitler was the bad guy. But to say that Churchill was the bad guy, but not anymore, you can't.
Well, I could just... See, I could just imagine myself saying something like that publicly and then walking away from the interview being like, that went well. Waking up in the morning, oh, shit. So I think our friend Jack has had to leave us. I think someone was coming. Someone was about to be coming in his apartment, so he's gonna make a big deal about that, which is his words, not mine. So there's really no need to. I did drink another Perlenbacher, but there's no need to review it for the 40th time on the episode.
It's another fucking 10. I drank another Ribena. It's another 10. Yeah.
Ribena is a fucking solid fucking drink there. Did they get done over by the sugar tax? If you read the ingredients on a Ribena, is it all sweeteners now?
And then there's mega things. No, there's sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yep, there's sugar.
Might give Ribena a go then, because pretty much the only non-adulterated fizzy soda you can get is Coke.
Yeah.
And the rest of them have all gone the sweetener route. There's still some sugar in them, but they've put like aspartame and stevia and all sorts of other shit. I don't know if you know.
All sorts of other shit. Yeah, which like, yeah, we know it's not sugar. We know it's not calorific. What else do we know about it? Very little.
Fuck all. It didn't used to be food. So, it really... probably only leaves us one thing to cheers to, which is to the continued reassessment of that Churchill fella.
Yeah, the continued reassessment of that Churchill fella.
bit of a dick, as it turns out. Oh well.
All right,
G-Money, it's been great talking to you, and whenever it is next, that'll be not soon enough. So
yeah, catch you then. Same to you, Walker. All right,
bye, bro.
That ought to hold those SOBs.